Okay. Obviously, we are very different from one another, and by the seam of things, it seems like we don't understand one another. Meaning that the adults say the kids might be, it's a war zone, or it's lazy, or not easy to get along with. The kids think, no, I am easy to get along with. The parents might think, I listen well. The kids feel, I don't listen, they don't listen well. There's a mixture of things. Now, in the Bible, in Proverbs, there's a verse that says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws it out. To translate that for you in basic English, we are complicated people, but if you try to understand us, you will. So in other words, whether you're a teenager, you're complicated, but if your parents or others try to understand you, they will. Or your parents are actually complicated, the adults, but if you try and understand them somehow, you will. So we need to get to know one another better. Now, 2,400 years ago, there was a guy called, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Hippocrates? Okay, Hippocrates. Okay, that's so much for my Afrikaans, for my English. Who of you guys have heard of him? Okay, some of the adults, back in their day, obviously. Now, this dude lived 2,400 years ago. And 2,400 years ago, he realized that people basically are divided into four different types of personalities. Okay? So, general rule of thumb, whether you're an adult or a teenager, there are four different types of personalities that you get. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain them to you tonight. I'll give you a brief rundown of each one, and then I'm going to explain them. Then you need to try and figure out, one is, who am I? Not me, you. Meaning, who am I? What kind of personality do I have? What kind of personality does my parents have? What kind of personality does my friends have? And if I understand their personality, would it be easier for me to get along with them? The first one is what's called a sanguine. Okay, like a penguin. But it's called a sanguine. Now, a sanguine is the kind of person that's warm and loving. Now, who perceives yourselves as warm and loving? Okay, so the possibility that you could be a sanguine. They're warm and loving. Sanguines are easy to be around. They'll usually shake your hand, pat your back. They're very affectionate. Hey, how are you doing? And how's it? Good to see you. You know, they've got that kind of personality. It's someone that if you look at them, they'll wink at you. They'll nod. They'll somehow make, hey, how's it? Now, I know that this might not happen between adults and teenagers, but it will happen with each other. In other words, with your teenage friends or with your adult friends, there would be that kind of connection. They have the ability to make everyone around them feel like their best friend. So everybody feels like, oh man, when I know, Ash is my best friend, man. That's just the way that it is. No one makes a better first impression than the sanguine because they love people so much. One of their greatest assets is that they are tender and they have compassionate hearts. They actually really feel for people. So they can be with you quickly. You go through a difficult time. Like, oh man, I'm really sorry. They very quickly connect with you. They are very lively people. They have a childlike curiosity about everything. Oh, wow, you've got a new watch. Wow. They're just too excited about it. Or a new phone or whatever it is that you have or whatever it is that you like. They're not just extroverts. Sanguines are super extroverts. So they're out there on the how's it, man? Hello. That's a sanguine. They enjoy life and people. No one enjoys life and people more than the sanguine. It's very rare that a sanguine will not be in a positive mood. They're the kind of people, they will whistle in the street, they sort of want to sing all the time, they want to sort of dance, they're very happy to be alive. When they enter a room, they lift the spirit of everyone there. So they enter the classroom, you can immediately sense they're there. They get to the party, you can immediately sense that they're there. They just make a difference to everybody. They're very optimistic. They live in the absolute present. They forget about past failures. Doesn't matter, there's a new tomorrow, a new day. They are easily inspired and they would quickly take on a new sport, a new hobby, a new something. They're usually great storytellers. In other words, man, they captivate you. They take you to the scene. They can tell you how bad their parents were with them the previous night. And it feels like you're with them in the room as all of this took place. I guess they're great storytellers. Those are all their strength. They enrich the world. Some weaknesses of the sanguine. Okay? They can be superficial. In other words, you're very important to the sanguine until they take their eyes off of you. So in other words, what the sanguine would do is, oh man, dude, you're just the dude. And then, oh! and as soon as their eyes are off you or you're that side, they actually forget that you live. The next one is on the line because they just like people so much. They can be weak-willed. In other words, people-pleasing, hey, well, whatever you want, man, I'll just, yes, you want me to be this, I'll be that. I'll do whatever it is that's going to make you happy. Now, again, I know that very rarely happens between parent and child, but I'm talking about friendship relationships. They easily compromise on integrity, and they're not very dependable. They can be very deceitful, or they would rather they can bend the truth well. And they feel like sort of the end justifies the means. So I'm not really deceitful, I'm not really lying. We're working towards a good end year, and this just needed to happen that way. Although they are very outgoing, they can be very insecure. In other words, shy, don't feel good about themselves. Because they're noisy and friendly, they usually appear more confident than what they actually are. But inside, they're actually taking some strain. They can be egotistical and self-focused. They're constantly thinking about themselves. Am I looking good? Am I dressed well? Do people notice me? How am I being perceived? Does people like me? Do they like what I said? Am I having a good conversation here? Am I noticed? They can easily dominate conversations, whether they have something meaningful to say or not. Meaning they just want to talk. Sanguines are talkers, irrespective of what's being said. Now again, this is not a blanket, not every sanguine is that way, but it can be that way. They can be undisciplined, overeat, and it's difficult for them to diet. They seldom plan ahead and take things as they come. Their lives, rooms, and workplace can be a bit messy. And although they are sharp dressers, when you enter their room, you might ask yourself or wonder who got killed in the explosion. Okay? They rarely learn from their mistakes. So in other words, they'll do something and just so excited, they'll do the same thing again tomorrow. They get away with murder because they're so engaging. In other words, they're so friendly and they're so they'll disarm you by just another pat on the back and just another hello and just another hug and just another connection. And so they sort of just slide through it all unnoticed. A Bible character that was that way, can anyone think of someone in the Bible?
Peter.
Peter, okay. Peter is obviously the dude that he's on the boat. Jesus says, Jesus walks on the water. He says, yes, that Jesus says, I. He says, hey, well, why don't I walk to you? And he walks three steps and he sinks. He's just so excited. And then as he starts walking, he starts thinking, what is it that I'm doing? That's personality type number one, sanguine. Okay? Who sort of sees themselves as possibly that? Okay, we've got a couple of sanguines here. Okay, number two. This person is called a choleric. Can you guys even say that? Choleric. Okay, strengths of a choleric. These are activity-driven people. Okay, they thrive on activity, which, by the show of hands, might not be many of the teens. Okay? They are quick, practical, strong-willed, self-sufficient, and very independent. Okay? They've got quick and clever minds, capable of making quick decisions. They are very determined. So in other words, if they decide this year, man, I'm going to do well at school, and then I'll kill myself doing it. Okay, but I will do well at school. If they decide to take on a task, they will do it with full throttle. They are very disciplined. They are not people pleasing. In other words, they won't say they like you when they don't, and they won't agree with you when they don't. In other words, I'm not talking about parents and kids here. I think those ones are very evident. I'm talking about friends. So a friend says something, and then the choleric would say, "I don't agree." No, but he says, "No, it can't be. No, I don't agree." They are very purpose driven. They want to make things happen. They usually pioneer causes at school or wherever else. They energize their environment with ideas, plans, goals, and ambitions. In other words, they just want to get things done. Whenever they're around, say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we get this done? Why don't we make this change? Why don't we go around here? They're extroverts, but not as extroverted as the sanguine, and they tend to have strong leadership tendencies. So they'll be class captain or prefect or lead the sport team or whatever it might be. Their weaknesses, They're not very sympathetic or compassionate. In other words, they're so focused on getting the job done that they are very insensitive. They don't consider people's feelings. They consider tasks more important than people. They can be arrogant. They can be bossy. I think a number of the teens might think your parents are cholerics. Once they've made up their mind, they can be very difficult to persuade. Okay, I think Sunny, you see, all parents are choleric. They rarely take no for an answer. Okay. And they don't realize that they lose people in the process. They can have anger problems and also be very sarcastic. Anyone in the Bible that's that way? Anyone that jumps to mind?
Paul.
Okay, there's a guy called Paul. He just wanted to plant a church everywhere, and if it meant casualties along the way or people that didn't get along with him, that was okay on his side, but not okay on Jesus' side. Okay, the third group here, it's a group called melancholies. Okay, think of a melon. Melancholies. Melancholy, I think many of us might want to be them when we are at this part. Melancholy usually has the highest IQ in their families. Okay, now who of you guys have the highest IQ in your family? Okay. James thinks he has, Greg thinks he has. Okay, the melancholy usually has the highest IQ in their family. The highest percentages of all geniuses are melancholies. Okay, Albert Einstein, any of you guys heard of him? He was a melancholy. Okay, in the Bible, David was a melancholy. They're by far the most rich and sensitive natured of all the temperaments. They are gifted perfectionists. Everything must be done precisely and perfectly. They can be very analytical. Whenever a project is suggested, a melancholy can analyze it in a few moments and say, I think we can do this better. Again, most of the teens might have that tendency. They are self-sacrificing. In other words, they'll give themselves up so that others can rather benefit from it. These are the kind of people that would serve in humanitarian causes because they think everyone is worth it but them. They are very creative thinkers. They're usually very artistic. They'll be something like a musician, have appreciation for culture values, can be very artistic, very athletic. They're very reliable. You can depend on them to finish the job. They're also very self-disciplined. Weaknesses about them, melancholies. Their standard of acceptance is usually higher than anyone can really maintain. Okay? In other words, who they want you to be as a kid, or who they want you to be as a parent, or who they want you to be as a friend, is practically impossible. They give into a variety of moods. Okay, so in other words, they're happy, they're sad. They're happy, they're sad. When they're happy, they can be very happy. So they're on top of the world, and usually in their great moments of joy and happiness, they'll achieve great things, like an Albert Einstein, like a David in the Bible. When they're very sad, they are very sad. Okay, they're not just sad, they feel like, man, death is knocking at the door. They can experience dark moods. Okay, any of the teens ever experience dark moods?
Go away.
Okay, one, two. Okay, so we've got some admitters. Okay, they can become completely unreasonable, more than any of the other personality types. The cholerics are hard to please. Melancholies can be impossible to please, especially when they're in a dark mood. They can be negative, pessimistic and critical, intolerable and impatient and self-centered. So, and it usually varies in those two extremes. So when they're right at the top, they are just absolutely brilliant, and then they can come down like a rocket that just went without fuel and they crash, and it's very hard to be around them. Okay, have we got any takers for melancholies in the room? Okay, we've got a melancholy there. Okay, so we've got one there. Okay, let me check this one. We didn't ask this. The choleric, the driven, the Paul, the let's get going, let's get going, let's get it done. Who's like that? Anyone in here? can one, okay? Okay, so that's on the thinner side. The last one, phlegmatic. Okay? That's sort of like a snail. Okay, phlegmatic, their strengths. They are very consistent. In other words, what you see today, you'll see tomorrow, and the day thereafter, and the day thereafter, and the day thereafter. It is boring in Ashley's words. So very, very mellow. They are calm, easygoing, and almost never get upset. Easy to get along with. They are the most likable of all the temperaments. Life for them is a happy, unexcited, pleasant experience in which they avoid as much involvement as possible. In other words, what the phlegmatic tries to do is to say, let's look for opportunities where I cannot be involved. Okay, Josh, we got to take care of it. Okay, so they want to say, man, I want to avoid responsibility at all costs. But although they avoid it, they're actually very capable. They will not volunteer for any form of leadership on their own. But when they are forced at gunpoint, and somehow someone manages to arouse action from them, they can actually get the job done. They're very practical by nature. They have many friends. They have a very dry sense of humor. What a phlegmatic would do is they would tell you a joke, everyone in the room would laugh but them. They won't even crack a smile. So in other words, they'll tell you the coolest, funniest joke and they'll just go on as if they never told it. They are kind-hearted and sympathetic. They are born diplomats because they don't like fighting. So you'll say, hey man, what do you think of this? Oh yeah, no, I agree. And then the next dude next to them, I'd say the exact opposite, and they say, what do you think? I agree. Someone in the Bible like that, I don't know, well, you guys know the Bible stories, but Abraham, Abraham's wife said to him, I want a child. He said, gee, I can't give you a child. We don't seem to be very childbearing here. So she said to him, sleep with my maidservant. So he said, okay, I'll do that. So he sleeps with the maidservant. She falls pregnant. Okay? The maidservant, exactly as his wife asked. Then his wife looks at him and says, look at what you've done. Now she told him to do it. And then he says, oh no, honey, you're right. It's just avoids conflict at any cost. They are natural peacemakers. They are able to listen well because they don't want to disturb the peace. They are great thinkers and planners. Okay, what is their weakness? Their weakness is that they avoid conflict at any cost. Okay, so they'll rather be a spectator than get involved in other activities. What a choleric would do is, the choleric is the driven personality, will look at an injustice in a situation and say, let's do something about it. The phlegmatic would look at an injustice and say, no, someone does something wrong, or someone has been treated unfairly or whatever. The choleric will say, let's get involved. The phlegmatic would say, someone should get involved. Why doesn't anyone get involved? I ain't getting involved. They seldom convey their true feelings. They're afraid to step out in any way or manner, at home or at school or at work, because they're afraid if they step out and do something that someone would see it, see that they're good at something, and expect them to do something else. Okay? They can be very stubborn. They can be very selfish. They are actually afflicted with a disease of selfishness. And you don't really know it until you live with them. When you live with them, you can see that this is actually an unmovable individual that actually just fights for their own doing nothingness. They are incredibly stubborn, because what they'll do is you'll be with them and you'll say to them, hey, maybe can you do this or help with this or what have you. They'll say, sure, absolutely. And somehow they'll just never do it and get away with it. And so they'll agree with you, but actually never change. That is the phlegmatic. Okay, someone in the Bible that's like that is Abraham. So those are the four key personalities that one gets. The sanguine, it's Peter in the Bible. It's the guy that's up, man, loves people, is friendly, engaging everyone, pat on the back, loves everybody but can be a little bit shallow, doesn't have deep convictions, easily compromises. The choleric is the Paul in the Bible. They go get, they want to lead at school and in every endeavor and do everything but don't really care about people that much. The Amalekani is a genius and insightful but can be depressed and dark at times. And the phlegmatic is just, actually strength and weaknesses are exactly the same. They just, they're happy to be there. Be alive, but unmovable to forward or back. Okay, so those are the four different temperaments. What we need to figure out as we try and figure each other out is who are we? Because with God, all these things can be overcome. The weaknesses and the strength can be multiplied. What we're going to do is we're going to do a quick session, which we're going to close out with, that James is going to tell us what to do.
Cool. Basically, what we're going to do, just to round things off, is we're going to split into four groups. Okay? We're going to keep it tight, and I've got the names of who's going to be in which group.